Call the next case.
May it please the court, Joshua Thompson on behalf of petitioner Joe Keating. For 25 years now, Mr. Keating has pursued his ability to build clean, efficient hydroelectric power. Now, after his 25-year plight is nearing culmination, the commission has decided to lift the stay and terminate his license. The decision by the commission to lift the stay and terminate the license was arbitrary and capricious because the commencement of construction is reasonably foreseeable in this case. Now, the commission...
Out of curiosity, does he have the decision of the Water Board?
The Water Board, it is not in the record, Your Honor, but the Water Board has stayed further proceedings pending outcome of this litigation.
Well, at the time the commission chose to lift the stay, did he have the decision of the Water Board?
At the time the commission chose to lifted the stay, the Water Board had not made a decision yet.
Right. Okay.
The commission based their legal conclusion that construction was not reasonably foreseeable on three grounds. The first ground, as we've already touched on, is that the water rights proceeding was too speculative. Now, on that ground, the commission has offered three reasons that support that ground. First, that simply it has taken a long time. However, this is a retrospective and not a prospective analysis of the record. They have to be looking forward as to whether or not construction is reasonably foreseeable under their own standard. That is a prospective look at what is going to happen. Additionally, their allegation that the water right proceeding is too speculative, they repeatedly say in their briefing and in their lifting of the stay that it was not due to Keating's lack of diligence. That their opposition brief that mentions other instances of Keating, perhaps, though we dispute his diligence, whether or not he was being diligent, is not a basis for the commission's decision here. Moreover, with regards to the water rights proceeding, there was originally 12 protestants. After 6 years of proceeding with the Water Board, it is down to one now. He began in 2000. It is 2007 when they lifted the stay and terminated the license, when it was down to one. The last protestant, when it was down to two, took a year to resolve. And the Water Board, the joint appendix does show, and the record does show here, that the Water Board has taken the initial steps to resolve the lone remaining protestant. So the commission's reason supporting that their ground that the water right proceeding is too speculative, that has taken a long time, is simply not supported by the record. Now, their second reason supporting the ground that the water right proceeding is too speculative is that Keating may need a point of discharge permit, that point of discharge permit may be a precondition to obtaining a water right. However, the commission has made no findings with respect to the point of discharge permit. No one from the commission has ever asserted that it would be a precondition. And the only reason that this is even in the record is a Forest Service official had mentioned to Keating at one point that he may need a point of discharge permit. So Keating sent two emails to the State Water Board, inquired twice whether or not a point of discharge permit would be required. He received no response. Therefore, the commission's decision, or its finding that a point of discharge permit may be a precondition, finds no support in the record. The only support in the record is that this is not necessary. Keating has made inquiries into the Water Board whether the point of discharge permit would be required, and they have gone unanswered. The third reason that the commission gives to support its ground that the water right proceeding is speculative is that he may need to obtain the access rights to the point of diversion, that may also be a precondition. However, as we established in our briefing, it is the State Water Board's policy, and their decisions are precedential, that an applicant need only show a willingness to use their eminent domain authority under their FERC license in order to satisfy the water rights proceedings. Keating has repeatedly stated, and this can be found in the record, that he is willing to use eminent domain if it comes to that. The reason he has not used his eminent domain authority under his FERC license at this point is simply because he does not want to inject himself into a proceeding, into illegal activities with the tungsten mine that is also near the property, and would like to resolve that amicably before having to resort to his eminent domain authority. However, he has shown a willingness, and that willingness is sufficient for the State Water Board. And therefore, the three reasons that the commission gives that the water rights proceeding is too speculative, that first ground, that it has taken a long time, that the point of discharge permit may be a precondition, and that the access right may also be a precondition, find no support in the record, and therefore that first ground is arbitrary and capricious. Now, the commission also offers two additional grounds as to why commencement of construction would not be reasonably foreseeable. The second ground is Keating's failure to file certain license amendments. Now, the record establishes between communication with FERC, Keating, and the Forest Service that everybody throughout this entire proceeding, throughout this 25-year plight, or at least the last 16 years since he obtained the previous decision from this court, that everybody recognized that water rights was the number one priority to this project. It made no sense to obtain or to file license amendments when he may have to refile license amendments depending upon the water right granted by the State Water Board. So some of these license amendments are definitely dependent upon the water right granted by the State Water Board. The commission also notes two specific instances. They point to two license amendments that Keating failed to file that they say support the decision or support the legal conclusion that commencement of construction is not reasonably foreseeable. The first being that he hasn't filed a license amendment relating to a second turbine. Now, Keating has stated in the record that if a second turbine would require a license amendment, that he would abandon that idea. He does not want the second turbine to determine whether or not this project goes forward. The second license amendment that the commission specifically notes is the meandering channel. Now, the record here establishes that the meandering channel is not necessary, first off. And secondly, the Forest Service has stated the meandering channel is not necessary. But secondly, that the commission itself would approve that permit as built, as an as-built license amendment. So once it came to that, if that were needed, they would approve it as built. So the second ground that the commission used to justify its decision that commencement of construction was not reasonably foreseeable, the failure to file license amendments, finds no support in the record. Now, the commission offers a third and final ground for its legal conclusion that commencement of construction is not reasonably foreseeable. That is that Keating has failed to file certain pre-construction plans. Now, with respect to these pre-construction plans, they are minor. They are simply the commission is placing form over substance. These, assuming the commission's good faith, and the commission did not lift the stay and terminate the license because he failed to file or pre-construction plans. The commission says that the failure to file pre-construction plans supports their reason or their legal conclusion that commencement of construction is not reasonably foreseeable. But if we assume the commission's good faith, which we must do here, then there is no reason that these pre-construction plans cannot be approved post-haste. Now, if we cannot assume the commission's good faith, then this is simply a naked desire to defeat Keating's license, which the Supreme Court has held is not permissible, and that would be arbitrary and capricious. And the commission is not relying on any agency expertise or statutory factors when they're saying that these pre-construction plans must be filed prior to obtaining the water rights adjudication. They're simply putting form over substance in a naked desire to defeat Keating's license. Unless we assume the commission's good faith, in which case that these can be filed expeditiously, and there's no basis that that supports the conclusion that commencement is reasonably foreseeable. Now,
the board in part says, look, the statute says 2 years. It gives us the authority to give an extension for another 2 years, and our policy is not to have indefinite extensions. And this has gone on for a long time, for whatever reason, but it has gone on for many, many years, and there are still some issues that are, it's unclear precisely when they're going to be resolved, and they could go on for a number of years. And it's just time to get on with seeing if somebody else can move in this area. I mean, that's the basis of their decision, isn't it?
Well, if that were indeed the commission's basis, that they want to see if somebody else can develop this hydroelectric power, there is nobody nearly as close as Keating to developing hydroelectric power. Another person that would want to begin.
Well, but my point is, couldn't the commission say, well, Mr. Keating is sort of standing in the way of anyone else thinking about developing, et cetera, because he's got this license. We've continued to extend it. So, you know, he's sort of in the way of what could be a faster moving project. Now, that's speculation on the commission's part, but, you know, they're the expert agency dealing with this all the time, and we would normally defer to their judgment on this, wouldn't we?
Keating has, however, only done that which was asked of him. He was asked to pursue his water rights as a priority. He initially sought a riparian water right under Californian law, went to the Ninth Circuit with that case, and was thrown out on sovereign immunity grounds. He then pursued his appropriative water right under California law. That began in 2000. It is just simply the process of whittling it down that has cost Keating time to commence construction. It is under no fault of Keating. He has simply done what the commission has asked of him.
That's been going on for how many years now?
The water right proceeding, I believe, began in 2000, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. And
how many years ago did the FERC first give him this license and then stay it?
After the decision of this court in 91, I believe the initial license was granted in 92, mm-hmm. The following year. And then he got an extension. I take that back. That's true. He got an extension in 94. And then when that extension was about to end, they imposed the stay of the construction deadlines.
So you started with 2 years, and then you got the 2-year extension, and then you got the stay. So it's now been 15 years, 17, how many years?
It's been 16 years, Your Honor.
16 years. Why would it not be the case, then, as Judge Rogers suggests, that we would normally defer to the commission's decision that enough's enough?
The commission simply needs to base its decision on evidence in the record. Their decision... There are three grounds that they have given: that the water rights proceeding is too speculative, finds no support in the record. Their reason that failure to file license amendments finds...
Do you have the water rights?
He is on the precipice of at least getting an adjudication.
On the precipice is the kind of language that's another way of saying no, right?
He does not have the water rights at this point, Your Honor.
After 16 years, he still doesn't have them, right?
Correct.
Why isn't the commission entitled to say now, look, enough's enough. We've given this applicant 12 years more than the statute would normally contemplate?
Because, Your Honor, the commission, if it based its decision on evidence supported in the record, then perhaps they could use that as a justification. However, their grounds for lifting the stay and terminating the license find no support, and that is what this court must concern itself with, is the record upon which the commission based its decision. And that decision...
But at both stages, don't you have the burden? That is to say, you have the burden of convincing the commission to issue a stay that's on shaky statutory grounds to start with. Then once they haven't issued the stay, don't you have the burden of convincing us that it was improper for them to deny the stay?
We carry the burden of showing that the commission's action was arbitrary and capricious. However, the commission still must, in order to support their decision, they must be able to point to evidence in the record that supports that. That the commission can't do, and with that, I respectfully reserve the rest of my time.
Could I just ask a quick question?
Of course, Your Honor.
Basically, it boils down to, as I understand your client's argument, that he got the license and he needed to do a number of things. He has been diligent about pursuing the things he needs to do. This is a complicated project. There were lots of different interests that had to be resolved. A state agency may not move as quickly as you might like. So it was almost inevitable that whoever gets this license is going to run into a number of obstacles that will stretch out the time that would otherwise, from the agency's point of view, be more desirable. I mean, is that the thrust of this argument?
That's undoubtedly true, Your Honor. I believe the thrust of our argument is simply that the commission's decision to lift the stay does not find support in the record.
Yes, but I just want to understand what the implication of the argument is.
Right.
The commission says, look, it's been a long time. And suppose that's all they said.
Right. Definitely, Your Honor. You're certainly correct that the upshot of our, or the result of our argument is that Keating is the only guy currently able to develop the project. He has gone through this process. Anybody else that wanted to obtain the water right would have to go through the exact same process. It would take much longer, or at least as long. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, counsel. We'll give you back a couple of minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We'll hear from the government.
May it please the court. I'm Robert Kennedy on behalf of the commission. Mr. Keating's challenge to the commission's orders lifting the stay of the commencement of construction deadline and ultimately terminating the license for the Tung Star project should be denied for two reasons. First, this court lacks jurisdiction to consider it. And second, even if this court were to reach the merits, the challenged orders were well within the commission's discretion, and it acted on the basis of substantial evidence in the record in concluding that the project had been subjected to prolonged delays and that there was no reasonable assurance that it would be completed in the foreseeable future.
On jurisdiction, bear with me for a moment. Just assume, since the commission did deal with the merits in its dismissal of the rehearing request, and those are the only issues before us, and that we would find that that was a final order, and therefore we had jurisdiction. What about the argument here that in granting a license like this, it's not an estoppel argument, but it's simply that it's going to take a long time because there are a lot of interested parties whose interests may be affected. You've got to go through a state agency. You first had to go to another federal agency, and these things just take a long time. And there's no indication that the licensee has been, not diligent, maybe other than that two-year gap that you do mention.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Federal Power Act mandates that hydroelectric projects that are found to be in the public interest be completed promptly. Congress has set forth a two-year deadline for the commencement of construction and a four-year deadline for the completion. So,
right, but clearly the commission has decided, at least in this case, that those deadlines are not reasonable in the sense of they granted one extension and then they just put a stay on construction.
Correct. In this case, the commission has exercised the equitable authority given to it under the Federal Power Act and the APA to implement a stay. Based on the findings that there were certain actions that were beyond Mr. Keating's control that had delayed the project. Now, in making that determination, the commission also has to consider the fact that the public interest demands that viable hydroelectric sites not be banked away indefinitely. There comes a point in time where the stays must be lifted and the statutory deadlines must be put back
in. Well, would the commission have to make a finding then that somebody else could do this faster? In other words, I get a license from the commission, and then the Forest Service raises some issues that I have to address. Then I have to go to a state board, and all of these parties come in, and I have to fight them off, and I have to appeal, and I get my appeal, and still fighting this before the water board, and finally we're down to one after all these years. I mean, there's nobody standing in the wings from the public's point of view to take this project on, at least according to the record that we have, and he's been diligent, and some of the things about these plan amendments and priorities, I mean, those aren't the things that you normally see as a reason for revoking.
A couple of points. First, there is in the record another prospective licensee who actually owns property that encompasses the point of diversion that Mr. Keating.
Or it's the last objector before the water board, isn't it?
Correct. And just to put
that's a different question.
Yeah.
The question is, if there weren't anybody, if that person didn't exist, does the commission have to see somebody in the wings in order to enter the decision it entered here?
No. I believe the answer to that is no. The Federal Power Act sets forth specific deadlines that were considered by Congress and implemented. The Commission, as I said, in certain instances will exercise its equitable authority to stay those deadlines, but again, it has to consider the fact that these can't be banked away indefinitely. And if that means going back to square one.
It's not banking. I mean, he's not just sitting on his hands holding a license. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Well, I think it's important to look at the record that was before the Commission when they made the decision lifting the stay. The primary driver of that of the Commission's decision was the fact that Mr. Keating had yet to secure water rights for the project, which everyone can understand is fundamental. And if you look at the record, particularly going back to 1996, there's a letter in there, JA-44, from the Forest Service, which tells Mr. Keating, look, you're going to have, before this project can go forward, before you can put a shovel in the ground, you're going to have to acquire property rights at the point where you want to divert the stream for your project. And they told him how to do it. They told him to go start an action with the California State Water Board. And he chose to ignore that advice and go a different route. That burned about 2 or 3 years. And then he started this water rights petition before the California State Water Board, and within 6-9 months of that being filed, Pine Creek Mining Company filed their protest explaining that, hey, we're the owners of the land at the point of diversion. We control these mines that have the flows which are fundamental to your project, and we're under no obligation to keep that going. We could turn it off. And also, we have a license to explore a preliminary permit, I guess is the proper term, to explore putting a hydroelectric project a little bit further up the stream, and there's going to be some conflict here, and we need to get this resolved. That was, I believe, their protest was filed in September of 2002. Now, we come to 2007, and nothing's happened.
Well, as I understood it, though, tell me where I'm wrong. He filed with the Water Board in 90.
I believe there was one action filed in late 2000 and one in 2001 with the Water Board.
Right, and there were 12 other objectors.
There were. And
they whittled that down.
And when I say nothing happened, nothing happened with respect to the key protest, the pine by the
all right,
the,
but
Pine
he's
Creek
still
Michael.
Trying to get this thing resolved is all I'm getting at.
Well, the point, in 2007, the commission is presented with a letter from the California State Water Board saying, we're not even going to hold a hearing on this whole matter until you take actions to acquire the property at the point of diversion. And prior to that, Mr. Keating had been telling them and the commission, I'm talking with them, we're negotiating. That's not enough for the Water Board, and as you see, as you heard Mr. Keating's counsel say today and also in their brief, it's their position that the Water Board can't insist on that. So the situation the commission was looking at was that the licensee and the California State Water Board were essentially at loggerheads. This issue that had been flagged back in 1996 by the Forest Service was still unresolved. Mr. Keating had not acquired property rights at the point of diversion for his project, and faced with that record, the commission determined that this could go on forever. He has not made the record is clear that he had not made a formal offer to the Pine Creek Mining Company for the property, and he had not taken any steps to institute a condemnation action. So the commission is looking at a situation where, you know, the Water Board says you need to do this. Mr. Keating says, no, I don't. And, you know, the public interest demands that at a certain point in time, the deadlines have to be enforced.
The deadlines in this statute seem pretty stringent. I mean, basically 4 years, it's a pretty short time, but it appears that in practice, if the commission grants the stay is sort of unlimited. My one question that I have is, are you agreeing with Mr. Thompson that once they grant the stay, they have to establish a record justifying, ending the stay? In other words, they couldn't just say it's gone on long enough and it's in the public interest to just end this, right? They have to develop a record that says there's a basis for saying now we're not going to let this go on anymore.
The decision whether to grant or lift a stay, it's our position that it's committed to the agency's discretion. That said, there must be some support in the record for the determination either to grant or lift the stay. And in this case, the commission's...
That sounds like a concession.
I'm thinking it is.
Has anyone ever challenged the ability of the commission to even grant a stay given the stringency of the statutory deadlines to start with?
I'm not aware of a challenge or a court case that deals with the question of whether or not in the first instance
the
stay...
the authority for the proposition that the commission has to have a record basis for lifting the stay?
I'm sorry.
For lifting the stay, what is the support for the proposition that they have to have a record basis for that, as opposed to merely saying, look, this has gone on way beyond the statutory deadlines, it's time to quit?
Well, the case law in general when dealing with the decision by an agency to grant or lift a stay.
Now, that's two different questions. Granting a stay and lifting a stay is not the same thing. Mm-hmm. Granting happened a long time ago. Nobody here is challenging the grant. We're talking about the lifting of a stay that's an extra statutory stay to begin with. And forget about any case on granting a stay. What's your authority? You're actually arguing the other side's case, but what is the authority for saying the commission has to have a record basis for saying it's been long enough, the stay's over?
Well, I'm not aware of any case law addressing the question of the proper standard of review for cases where the commission lifts the stay. I'm unaware of any distinction between...
I thought you cited Permian Basin.
Well, I believe that was a case that instituted a stay, unless I'm mistaken. But the point...
I've heard Sir Permian Basin cited so many times I've forgotten what it stands for. It seems to be cited whatever the issue is before us.
But when I say there must be a basis in the record for the commission's decision, to a large degree, I think pointing out that this has gone on for 10, 11 years, and there's other considerations other
that's
than the
sort
licensee
of what we're asking.
Is
suppose that's just enough. Suppose all the record says was this has gone on 11, 12 years beyond the statutory deadlines. Is that enough by itself to say, all right, enough's enough, let's lift the stay?
I believe the statute commits that decision to the agency to make, and on that basis...
That would be a yes, then. That is
the commission could act, yes, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, unless there's
Let me just pursue that if I could be clear, so I understand what the agency's position is. It's gone on too long, 12 years. And that would be the only thing the agency needed to say. Is that your position?
To be clear, that's not the position in this case.
No, I'm pressing.
That's not the state of this record. Mm-hmm. But I believe it is committed to the agency's.
No, but I think the agency's ruling, if I can put it that way, suggests that the agency interprets it to mean it couldn't just lift the stay because he has red hair, for example.
Let's hope not.
That's not hope not, yeah. but, I mean, it's the notion that they have to give some explanation so that their action is consistent with their obligation to act in the public interest. And that's what I thought they were trying to do with this explanation. And I thought we were trying to press you to see whether or not, that was sort of nice of the commission to do, but it was under no legal obligation to do it.
Yeah, and my answer, what I'm trying to say to these questions is that there comes a point in time when it is in the public interest simply to cut ties when things go on long enough that you have to consider the public interest in not banking away these sites and letting the process go on indefinitely. But again, in this case, the record is much more clear than that. It's not just that it had gone on for, I believe it's 15, 16 years, it's that there's no reasonable assurance that the project will ever commence, much less that it will commence in the foreseeable future.
That leaves open the question that I thought I got a yes on. Would the passage of time by itself be enough for the commission to take the action?
I believe it would be in the commission's discretion to determine that if the passage of time is long enough that the public interest demands that ties be cut and new business be taken up.
Thank you, counsel.
Unless there are any further questions, the commission will ask, will rest.
Seeing none, petitioner, give petitioner back 2 minutes for rebuttal, please, ma'am.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would just like to address a couple points raised by the court. Regards to the hypothetical that was just going on with counsel, if the commissions could simply, by the passage of time, lift these stays without any evidence in the record, then the commission assumes the position of a tyrant or a King George.
No, they don't. If the statute doesn't provide for a stay at all, could you really have a case to come in here and say that the failure to grant a stay is beyond their the commission's discretion?
I suppose I don't mean by a statutory argument. I mean, practically speaking, the commission's licenses are not, the commencement of construction doesn't happen for years and years and years.
Congress has set deadlines, and you have what looks like on its face an extraordinary expansion of that deadline to begin with. Is it really tyrannical to say, given the congressional deadlines, enough's enough?
The tyranny comes when the commission, without any reasoned basis, can simply decide to terminate licenses or continue licenses on
really
in advance.
It's deciding to terminate a license. It's deciding to end a stay of a license that would have terminated by act of law but for the stay.
That is true, Your Honor, but
that's a bit of a different proposition, isn't it, counsel?
Be that as it may, the position of the commission is that these stays are granted routinely. They cannot not grant these stays because otherwise licenses would never culminate. The commission routinely grants these stays because...
Do they routinely allow those stays to extend for 12 years beyond the statutory deadline?
Sometimes, and when they decide to lift those stays and terminate the licenses, they must have a reasoned basis for doing so, which they do not have here, Your Honor. Their decision was arbitrary and capricious. Thank you.
Okay, your time is up again, counsel. So, case is submitted. Give us recess.